This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on Zoomer Radio, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie Dobbin?
Good morning, Robin. How are things in the Batcave?
I'm good. And I got to say, every Saturday morning, I am impressed by that singer right off the hop at 9 in the morning who can hit those high notes. Good for her.
No kidding. She just makes me want to dance.
Yes. Have you had a good week? And I know from us chatting just before the show, you can rest assure everyone that Charlie did get her garlic in this week.
Finally, yes. I did it right after the show last Saturday. Yeah. Just a gorgeous week here. You know, I mean, tropical temperatures all weekend, last weekend, and early into the week. Right now, I'm looking at a crystal clear blue sky. You know, you cannot complain about the gorgeousness of the weather, except I'm going to complain because I need rain. I mean, I'm always whining about rain here, but I looked back. Last time we had any rain, was measurable rain, was on October the 9th.
Ooh.
For the entire month of October so far, we've had 20 millimeters of rain. So
that is not a lot at all.
Not at all, because autumn is an incredibly important time for there to be moisture in the soil before freeze-up. Lots of time still. Of course, we're not anywhere near freeze up, but still it is a bit worrisome. So it's, you know, something to be monitoring. Evergreens particularly are never ever put to bed for the winter without lots of moisture around the roots.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I never begrudge the rainy days because you got to have that balance, right? I mean, you have to have that water. And as my observation, certainly in my neck of the woods, is that it has been a pretty nicely balanced summer and into fall because I didn't have to water nearly as much this season. And we didn't really have that I can think of a crispy lawn, you know, like it was it would always sort of come in the nick of time. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that because, again, less work for me. I didn't have to pull out the hoses and the sprinklers and get it all going.
Less expensive too when you're paying for water.
Yeah.
Here, same thing. We've had a green lawn, first time ever, for the entire summer, but now it's starting to turn crispy in spots.
Okay. Right?
It's getting that dry.
So we have to keep our fingers crossed for a little bit more fall rain.
For me, anyway.
Okay. You know what? And I know we're going to talk about the podcast in a minute, but I want to give out the numbers as well, okay, because we're heading towards our first break. We would love for you to give us a call if you have a question, you know, anything about your lawn, could be about your garden, indoor. A lot of questions right now about winterizing your gardens or your plants and how that can be done. Okay, so give us a call. If you live in Toronto, here's the number, 416-360-0740, or if you live outside Toronto but still within the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. That's a toll-free number, okay? And do let Anthony know if you are a first-time caller, because I'll give you those, the garden wings. And here's the important one, and we've got some people already calling through. Call often. Yeah, we love that. Call early, okay? Please don't leave your question until, even if you leave it to the last half hour, there's a chance, you know, if you leave it, you know, we'll have a hard time getting to you. So please call early, get in line, and one question per call, please. That's also very, very, very important, okay? So, Charlie, why don't we take our first break, and then as soon as we come back, before we get to our first caller, we will talk about the podcast thing, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, 'tis The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on Zoomer Radio with Dean Holland. And Charlie, okay, let's, before we get to our callers, we did have some issues with podcasts this past week, not just our podcast,
no,
but others.
Zoomer in general, any shows that are podcasts on AM 740, clearly there's been some kind of a unresolved problem with the mounting, I guess, of the podcast. Yep. It's actually, I guess it's a subcontractor that does that for us. Yep. Bottom line is anybody who relies on the podcast isn't hearing what we're saying right now because they had not been able to listen. I've had a few emails saying that. So if anybody is able to hear, you know, maybe listening live as opposed to like buddies out in Alberta, however, it's, well, it wouldn't be bad for them in timing. I guess if you were in Halifax, it'd be, anyway, whatever, however the timing works, I'm confused. Actually, maybe it's the other way around. Alberta, it's still 5 a.m.
Yes.
So people who want to listen live might be listening because they aren't getting the podcast, but it is being worked on and it is going to be resolved. So
gotcha.
Stand by, stay tuned. Once the podcasts are all out there and up there, you can listen anytime you want.
Yeah, and you know, we become very dependent on these things, but you know, it's not unlike, you know, once in a while, somebody's car will have a problem and it breaks and you have to get it to the shop, right? I mean, like, you can't, it doesn't run 365 days a year for eternity. Sometimes you run into a little speed bump and you gotta fix it up and get it running again.
Yeah, it's like Elliot fell off his bike last week and broke his foot.
No.
You know, stuff happens. You know, it's like he fractured his foot.
Okay.
But there's so many bones in the feet. Anyway, so I'm like running things by myself. So I'll be out mowing the lawn after this and I'm doing everything because he's kind of on crutches and a little bit disabled for the next little while. But this too shall resolve.
It too shall. Yes. Indeed.
Just a reminder for everybody, mm-hmm. just before we get to callers, this Wednesday is my final presentation at the Aaron Theatre in Campbellford. 7 p.m., I'll be speaking about The Big Chill, which, of course, is all about winter is coming, get those gardens ready. The Aaron Theatre, the program I've been participating in is called Artworth for Adults. So for more information, you can easily go to artworthcamp.ca. You'll see Artworth for Adults, and you can register there if you'd like to attend. It's been a lot of fun. It's a beautiful theatre, and of course, it's a great crowd. I mean, Campbellford is a very, very nice town.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, let's get to our first caller now. We have Jean on the line, who's calling from Newmarket. Welcome to the Garden Show, Jean.
Good morning. And I first would like to give a shout out to John. I found it was a privilege, Charlie, when you and he got on and discussed things. And I haven't heard from him for a while.
Good point. Is, where is John? From Mississauga.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't. Sorry, I lost you. Are you there?
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay, great.
I can hear.
I have I'm going to spell it, a Diplodenia flowering plant. Diplodenia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't know how to winter it. I went on the internet, and I know because I didn't have you, and it said cut them back half. So I started cutting the back half until your voice came and said, don't cut until they finish flowering and blooming. So I have two that are cut half, and the other two are left as is. And I had to do that spray stuff. Hopefully, do you have to get every single spot on the plant for that to work?
So Jean, you've got three Diplodenia. They've been outside all summer. They're covered in flowers. You want to bring them in. The cutting back is to kind of start to shut them down because coming in, they are going to naturally shut down anyway. There's less light indoors than outdoors. And of course, days are getting shorter. So what I would do, if I can bring them in without cutting them down, I would just give them a soap and water bath, shower, clean them all up, get them in the house, bright sunny window, and expect some leaves to start dropping. Yellowing of leaves, flowers will start to slow down, everything's going to slow down, and then you will have to cut and prune because it's just going to naturally happen because the plant is going to be naturally shrinking right before your eyes as it drops leaves. So the cutting can happen at any time. We just try to not cut because we hate cutting off flowers, but at the end of the day, you're going to end up losing the flowers eventually. So it's just bright, sunny if you can, patio window, southern exposure, lots of sun, no hot air drafts, no vents, no cold air drafts, mist if you can, pebble trays beneath, only water as necessary, and you'll be ready to go next spring, back outdoors, start all over again.
The ones that I cut half, 50% now, could I, do I throw them away? Have they got any hope of surviving?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. They're fine. Just bring them in. And like I said, the other thing is not everybody has a real sunny spot to keep these plants going all winter in their homes. So sometimes we just put them into a not so bright location, but then we have to make sure it's cool. Classic would be a bright basement that has, you know, windows, but it's cooler than the rest of the house, or an unused room where you can close it up, close the vents, have it just cooler. And that even slows the plants down more. So they're even more, it's like what we would call semi-dormant.
Okay, thank you very much, as always. Bye now.
You're very welcome.
Okay, yeah, thanks very much, Jean. Okay, numbers again, 416-360-0740, or toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We have lots of callers on the line, so please get in line with your question, and we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We're back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, before the show's out, I, believe it or not, have an amaryllis question, personal amaryllis question.
How unusual.
How unusual this time of year. Okay, but right now we're going to go to our next caller. We have Mary on the line from Aberfoyle. Welcome to The Garden Show. Mary?
Hello.
Morning.
Hi.
Yes, I would like to know about storing dahlia bulbs.
Okay. So first you wait until you've had a frost. Once you've had a frost and the leaves are all tumbled to the ground, now it is time to lift the dahlias. Yeah, best way to lift them is with a fork, a digging fork, because you don't want to puncture them. The lifting of any of the tender bulbs that we're going to bring into a frost-free environment has to be done gently, because it's just like potatoes, right? Or in my case, sweet potatoes. When you're digging them up, you want to be careful that you don't do any damage to the actual tubers or rhizomes. And so we get them up out of the ground. I lay them out on newspapers in the garage, so they're out of any potential rain, though I don't get much of that, but there's no rain, and just keeping them cool, right? So a good week or so outside, drying down, then gently, very gently removing any clumps of dirt that might still be attached. They're, you know, they're not going to be perfectly clean, but just cleaning them up a bit. And then what I do is put them into, it's not a dry environment. They actually go into some moisture before they're stored in the cold, cool, dark location. They got to be dark or they'll start growing on you. So that's where we bury them in peat moss, or we bury them in perlite, or bury them in something. Mary, are your dahlias in pots, or are they in the ground?
They were in the ground.
Right. So you've lifted them already?
Yeah.
So that's how they aren't. They get big. That can be the one challenge, is how big of a box do you have to put them in? But you do want them, just kept dark, kept cool. So basements often work if you have a cool corner in your basement. And we just don't want them exposed to the air. They've got to be, you know, in something. And clean, sterile peat moss is often the choice. And we will mist the peat moss a tiny bit before you put the bulbs in, and check them. Check those tubers, every month or so. Just take a peek down, you know, open the box they're in and make sure they're not shriveling up. If they're shriveling up, you're going to have to add some moisture. If they're getting, you know, at all soggy or, you know, starting to rot, you got to get them out of there, because that's too much moisture.
Right. Now, the clump that I have dug out, it's already drying out. Do I separate any of that, or do I just put the whole clump back in the garden in the spring?
I would separate them in the spring. I would not separate them now.
Okay.
Because with dahlias, I like to, if you can, pot them up in the house end of March.
Okay.
You're in Aberfoyle. Yeah, end of March, April. Get them potted up in the house. Get them to start growing. before you go outside, and then they'll bloom sooner. If you wait till we're frost-free and get them out in late May or early June, it just takes so long for them to flower. It's nice if you can get them growing a little sooner.
Yes, that's okay. So I can store them in, you said, peat moss or vermiculite?
Yeah. Well, any of those can things, as long as it's clean, preferably sterile, right? Because that's the one thing that will kill us doing any kind of overwintering with any of these underground tubers and rhizomes and bulbs, et cetera, is we want everything to be as sterile as possible, because it doesn't take much for, bad things to happen, for rot to start destroying them.
Should they put them in an airtight container or just a box?
I would line the box with plastic, like a cardboard box with plastic. Then I dump in my peat moss or whatever I'm dumping in. Then I would mist out of a mister, moisten that peat moss a bit, get those dahlias down under the peat moss, close up the box, and like I said, check them every month or so over the winter.
Super.
Okay, thanks very much for the call there, Mary. We have to move on to our next one, sorry. Couldn't help but think, Charlie, Christmas. You could put them in boxes, and then just before Christmas, you could wrap them up, put them under the tree, and give somebody a nice dahlia from your garden. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would sometimes that doesn't work. I gave my dad an amaryllis for Christmas one year, speaking of amaryllis, and I hadn't potted it. It wasn't in a pot. It was just a beautiful bulb ready to be potted. And he never put it in a pot. He stuck it in his underwear drawer. And guess what happened?
Did it grow in the underwear drawer?
Yeah.
Wow.
It literally grew in the underwear drawer. The flower did this whole big circle in the drawer. And the only reason, how often did I go in my father's underwear drawer?
Yeah.
But I was visiting my parents, and my mom was putting away laundry, and she opened his drawer to put clean underwear away. And I went, wait, what is that? And I look, and there's this poor amaryllis flowering in the drawer.
That is actually quite funny. That could be a joke in there. So
I was shocked. So I learned. So what I learned is never give anybody something that needs, like a plant that needs another step.
Fair enough.
Before you give it to them.
Fair enough. Okay. So quickly before we get to our next caller. So I did not bring in my amaryllis yet, but I have stopped watering it. It was sitting on the back deck. Well, my problem is now, Gail noticed this week that one of them has started to shoot up. So can I still put it in the dark? Or
I would.
Get it in the dark real quick.
Well, look at what's shooting up. Okay, so there's a big difference.
It looks
difference.
Like it's trying to start.
Yeah, no, I get it. But it's coming from the center. But is it a leaf that's trying to shoot up, or is it a flower? Because it's a very different shoot. The flower shoot is going to be a thick, well, they're all kind of, curved, almost pointy on the top. But if a leaf coming up is thin, very thin, like a piece of paper, whereas a flower shoot coming up is much thicker.
Okay.
So take a close look. If it's a flower that's starting to pop, then forget putting it away. Just put it on the dining room table. But if it's a leaf, I'd put it away.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's go to our next caller now. We have Robert calling from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Robert.
Thank you.
Morning.
I've listened to you for about 30 years, but then again, you were 17, right?
Thank you. And anyway, so smart.
My kick of the can is the same thing about the dahlias. This year is unusual because the dahlias are still in bloom. There's no dead on them. And we've had a couple of frosts, and they say take them out after a couple of frosts. But, one day we're just going to wake up, we're going to have a foot of snow. So should I take them out now and let them dry, or...?
Yeah, you were still a ways away from a foot of snow. I personally would leave them until it's hard enough frost to knock them down.
Okay.
So, yes, there's light frost. Like, I've had light frost here, but my canna lilies are blooming like crazy. So they're in the ground. They're out there. Once we have a hard frost, however, they will turn crispy and everything will, like, literally, drop to the ground, and then I'll dig them. So try and put it off if you can. I get it. Sometimes we run out of time, or some people, spend the winter in Florida, so they just have to dig the garden and put it to bed because they're leaving town. So sometimes you just have to do it. But if you can leave them. Enjoy those flowers.
I will. But, I'm old, so I don't know if I can wait that long.
You can. You're not that old. You were 17 when I was 17.
I wish. All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, thanks for calling, Robert. Numbers again, because we have room on the lines. Okay, give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740 in the event that you don't have it like magnetized to your refrigerator or something like that already.
Speed dial. Just speed put it up. Into your phone.
There you go. Yeah.
Garden show.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, let's go to Sonia now, who's calling from Beamsville. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sonia.
Good morning. I'm calling about a Lysianthus plant. I have a Lysianthus. When I got them, they were just like, you know, maybe 3-inch little tiny plants. I planted two of them together in a 10-inch hanging basket pot.
Nice, yeah.
And it's probably about 15 inches now, and it bloomed all summer. It was absolutely gorgeous, those little dusty rose, dusty rose colored, but they were like little roses. So my question is, can I overwinter it in the pot, or should I have planted it in the ground?
Oh, no, no, it's good it's in a pot. It will not survive outside.
Oh, good, good.
So Lysianthus is what's considered a tender perennial. And of course, it's always the challenge when we Google things like this, because it is a perennial if we lived in Georgia, and it would be a tender perennial if we lived in North Carolina. But by the time you get up to here, it's an annual. So it will not survive outside. So in a pot, you know, it'd be an interesting challenge to see if you, and I will want you to call me in the spring and let me know how this goes. Okay. I would treat Lysianthus kind of like we treat geraniums that we love. We don't want to leave them outside because they're going to die. Again, right. Tender perennial. And so we bring them in. And the Lysianthus isn't a bulb or a tuber. It's not going to go dormant. It's more like the Diplodenias or the hibiscus tropical plants that we bring in and put them into a sunny window and keep them going all winter if we can. And that's exactly what you're going to try and do. It is going to be a bit challenging. I've never tried to overwinter Lysianthus, but it's such a pretty plant. It's certainly worth the challenge if you can do it. Again, bright light. No hot or cold drafts, right? So if you've got hot, once the furnace is on and the heat is blasting out of those vents, make sure you've got vent deflectors deflecting the hot air away from any of your indoor plants. None of them want that hot air blowing on them. So, and yet those vents are always by the windows. So, you know, we need our plants by the windows. The vents are there. So deflect that hot air along the floor or somewhere else. So it's in the room, but it's not on the plants. And for sure with a Lysianthus, I would set up a pebble tray. So that's like a cookie sheet with pebbles. The pot sits on top of the gravel or the pebbles, and water is kept in the tray at all times. So you've got that water slowly but surely adding some humidity to the air around the plant. And keep an eye, watch for mites. Spider mites will happen in a hot, dry house. So that's where humidity is so important to not have any kind of infestation with spider mites, because they'll annihilate your plants very quickly.
Okay. Well, Charlie, I have one bedroom that is not used as a bedroom. It's mm-hmm. it's always a little bit cooler in there because I do shut the vents off. So mm-hmm. would I be able to put it in there? It has a window, so it's quite bright. And so then if I put it in there on that pebble tray, I just have to make sure that the water is in the tray, but I don't water the plant.
No, you will water the plant, though it's going to use a lot less water than it used in the summer. Okay. So if you go into this unused bedroom, what kind of temperature are we talking there? Like 10 degrees, 11 degrees?
It's cool. It's cool in there. I keep the door closed and it's cool when you walk in. I can't tell you what the temperature is.
Not a bad idea if you just to, you know, stay on top of this, maybe get yourself a little, I love these little mobiles, like a little rheostat. So it's got both a temperature and a humidity reading on a little, it's a digital thing. Canadian Tire sells them for $4.99. Like, they're not a lot of money. Just have something like that in the room. I wouldn't have the plant at less than 10 degrees.
Okay.
Keep your humidity, if you can, over 40%. So you may or may not need a pebble tray because pebble trees are so important when we're at, you know, high temperatures. If you're at a low temperature, like 10, you might find your humidity's fine without a pebble tray. And then you will water as required. And that's going to be feeling the soil. You're going to feel it when it's dry to the touch and there's not some sponginess to the soil, you'll water.
Okay, thanks very much for the call there, Sonia. Good luck with that. And we'll go right now to our next caller. We have Lena calling from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Lena.
Hi. I'm calling regarding my orchid.
Okay.
It flowered just once, and then for the last 2 years, I'm getting only big green leaves. Will it ever flower again?
Yes, it will. Sounds like you're doing something very right if you've got nice big green leaves. That's great. What you want to do to encourage flowering, here's the sort of the magic with orchids, as far as I'm concerned. You keep, I'm assuming it's what we call a phalaenopsis orchid or a moth orchid, that when we buy them, they are in bloom. You can get them everywhere, grocery stores, Walmart, everybody's got orchids these days, usually very affordable. Mm-hmm. And so eastern or northern window, so right in the window, if it's east or north, you never want to put these orchids in too much bright, hot sun. So if it's a southern exposure, then you're 10 feet away from the window. And what I do about every month or 2 months is I fill a pail with water, let it come to room temperature, put some orchid fertilizer into that pail of water, and then I dunk the orchids, pot and all, into the pail. So I submerge the pots down under the water so they get a really, really thorough watering, and that fertilizer gets in amongst the bark or the moss, and let that the plants drain well, of course. We're always in pots with good drainage, and then back into its window. And I find that that really makes a huge difference to keeping them flowering kind of all the time. They'll flower and flower for a few months, and then maybe stop flowering for a month or so, and then more flower stems shoot up.
Oh, that's an idea. That's a great idea. Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yes, okay. I will try.
Thanks very much for the call there, Lena. Yeah, Dean is a little bit orchid challenged as well. Gail's been pointing out. She says, yeah, you're not doing too well on your orchids there. So,
aw, that's not nice. What's wrong with your orchid?
I don't, you know what? I probably haven't dipped them in water. You know, I've been busy and I've been neglecting them a little bit, so I need to do that. I need to give them one of the dunks.
Are they green right now? They're alive.
Yeah,
it's fine. You know, orchids can bloom anytime. So that's like so many plants, particularly indoor plants. We get lots of flowers in the spring and summer, but winter is kind of a downtime. But orchids, you know, they are from rainforests, right? Yes. Again, they like that humidity. So they like, and they like that sort of soft in bright spot in your house. So they want brightness, but not like a hot, hot sun. Yeah. And the thing is, they don't live in soil. So those roots, all those aerial roots that are growing out of the top of the pot, you've got to leave those, let the plant do its thing. Don't be messing with what it's doing, because those aerial roots have a very important function. You might not like the look of them, but they are there for a reason. And the reason I dunk is because that way it's the bark. It's just funny. It's hard to water orchids when they're living in bark because it just runs right through. Yeah. So you get it underwater and then you really, you know, get the moisture right in amongst all those chunks of bark.
Yeah. Okay. So Dean needs to do that. Dean also needs to give out the phone numbers before Dean throws us to break. 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number. But if you live outside Toronto, anywhere in this beautiful province of Ontario, here's toll free 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
It is exclusively on Zoomer Radio. Yes, indeed. And it is exclusively Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, I got to tell you, I'm feeling a little bit forlorn this morning because we haven't had a first-time caller this morning. I haven't been able to give out the garden wings yet. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking to myself, oh, I could not possibly call in, just do it. Pick up the phone, call Charlie. She doesn't bite. She has a bit of bite to her, but she doesn't physically bite. Okay, you're safe over the radio. We would love for you to be a first-time caller so I can give these garden wings out, okay? In the meantime, we have a longtime listener on the line. Yeah, we got Maureen from North York. Welcome back to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Dean. My voice is a little wonky. I got a wee cold, but I got to ask this question. I bought some new, I'm very excited, Charlie, tulips that they're brand new brand. One's called Mysterious Parrot. Anyway, they, I know tulips need sun, but my front is kind of packed with the, in the tulip area. Now, my back faces east. And this is going, it says late spring, so that probably be May. So I get the morning sun there till about, oh, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Would that be enough light?
Probably. Yeah, probably. I mean, remember too, our trees that don't have leaves in the spring, there's lots more light in the spring for planting bulbs and getting that sun that will eventually become shady as the leaves emerge. Do you have that kind of an option?
Yes, because I the area I want to put them in has got two lilac bushes, but they're only like about 4 feet high, right? And it, and it would be beside them, not over them. And
right.
I have a cherry tree, but it's on the other side. I want to plant it on the north side, the northeast side. I don't have a tree hanging over there.
Okay. Yeah. The main thing with any of the bulbs, tulips particularly, well-drained soil, so not a soggy spot. Yeah, get them down into some reasonably fertile soil before winter. And yeah, if they can get a half-day sun, they should do just fine.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, now, the instructions on this package, I've never seen this before, it said to fertilize the tulips when you plant bulbs. I've never done that. Should you fertilize them?
No, no. I like to work with a good quality soil that is fertile itself, you know, has lots of good quality organic matter, whether it's your own homemade compost or composted manure. So it's not just a sad soil. It's an actually, you know, smells good, you know, kind of soil. I do think it's a good idea to fertilize tulips after they flower. So that, of course, would be next spring, early summer. But I would not fertilize when planting. I mean, again, we used to sprinkle bone meal when we planted bulbs into the soil just to get that phosphorus, get those roots growing. Probably not necessary, but you could. If you wanted to do something, you could sprinkle some bone meal into the holes as you plant.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. And,
very welcome.
Okay, thanks for the call there, Maureen.
Your advice.
Okay, we're going to go right to our next caller. We have Mary from Hamilton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Mary.
Oh, thank you, and good morning. I'm calling about, good morning. I have a very old rose bush that faces south. And before I've had another time, probably most of its life, it's had a black spot. Now, this was a bad summer for it, and it's also grown to be about, I'd say, 8 feet tall, and it's almost leafless.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Okay, well, that it's leafless now is not a concern, because it is, you know, towards the end of October anyway. It will have defoliated a bit early because of the black spot. So, excuse me. What I would do is I'd probably just leave it alone right now if you can, unless it's a problem, like it's, you know, interfering with something. I would leave it for the winter, obviously clean up any of the leaves that fell so that they're not floating around the yard, you know, sort of sharing the inoculum or inoculating other plants with the fungus. Black spot is a fungus, right? So good garden hygiene is important. So just do that kind of cleaning up. You could later, even later meaning 2 weeks from now or early next spring, so March or April, get out there with your loppers and cut that plant down to half its size. You could bring it down to 4 feet tall in 2 weeks or so or in early spring. And, you know, on a dry day, sharp loppers, chop it all down. And at the same time, You would thin out where you've got a lot of branches intertwining with each other, lots of branching in the center of the plant. You would do quite a lot of cleaning out so that you'd be opening the plant up so there'd be better air circulation into the center and better mm-hmm. sun penetration. That will lower your incidence of fungal diseases by opening the plant up. You can't do anything about the weather, the humidity, et cetera, this year, the rain in your area, the GTA, GTHA was such that you had lots of rain, lots of precipitation, lots of humidity, lots of fungus. So that's what's happened, and you can't control that, unfortunately. But, just that cutting it all down. The other thing is you say, I love my roses. This rose is way too much work. You dig it out, you start again, and you get yourself roses that are resistant to black spot, because there are newer varieties that will not give you the same problems.
Okay. So thank you very much for the question there, Mary. We have to run to our next break. We'll be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, we're back here on The Garden Show. Of course, our last weekend of October. There we go, eh? Yeah, next weekend when we meet, it'll be November.
It's hard to believe because it's pretty beautiful. I mean, it is only 7 degrees at my house right now, but, it's going to get milder and the sun is warm still.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Okay, well, let's go to our next caller. We have Jerry on the line from Gasport, I believe it is. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jerry.
Hi, good morning, Charlie. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
What do you got there for Charlie?
I got two hydrangeas, one newer hydrangea, about 3 years old, and the other one about 10-plus years old. And this year they've only been big green leaves and a couple flowers. They look really healthy, but no flowers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a very common problem. Do you have any idea what kind of hydrangeas they are?
Well, the large one that's older is like a blue-purple, and the other one is like a pinkish flower, the smaller one.
Does the name Endless Summer come to mind when you're thinking about tags that were on the plants?
Possibly.
Okay, so the challenge with... Okay, so these are what we call macrophyllas. These are hydrangeas with the round flowers, not the conical flowers that are blooming now at this time of year. So the macrophylla or the big leaf hydrangeas have round flowers, usually early summer, range in colors from pinks to purples to blues, depending on the pH of your soil. And the big challenge with some of them is that they only bloom on new wood. So new wood is the new growth that starts in the spring and proceeds through into the summer, and we get blooms or not. The older varieties only bloomed on new wood. And if, of course, it was a very hard winter, I'm saying that backwards. They only bloomed on old wood. So that in a hard winter, there was no old wood. Everything that came up in the spring was new, so we got lots of leaves and not a lot of flowers. So the challenge with these plants is pruning them in the spring and maintaining any healthy, alive growth in the spring, because there's always dead stuff, right? I mean, we leave them alone all winter. In the spring, they start to grow, and we try to only cut off what's dead, and we should, hopefully, have surviving material from last year, which should flower for us. And there will be years when they won't flower, even if they are claiming to bloom on both old and new wood, which is what the Endless Summer series did. I'm sorry to say, they are not reliable. They are sporadic in their blooming. Oh, cool. And it's not to say I give up on them, but eventually if I get green year after green year with these hydrangeas and they're just big green shrubby things, round, shrubs in my garden, I get frustrated at some point. I threaten them for a year or two and then I send them off to the compost in the sky, because I want plants that are going to, give me beauty year round, preferably. And if a hydrangea is just green, it's not doing what it's supposed to do.
Okay, so it's best to trim them down in the spring, not the fall.
That's right. Yeah, I would not trim them in the fall. Let them be for the winter with whatever's there. Let them be. And all the trimming in the spring is based on trimming out dead and only dead.
Okay, thanks very much for the call there, Jerry. Yeah, good luck with that. We're going to jump right now to Leo, who's calling from Utah. Welcome to the Garden Show, Leo.
Hi, how are you?
So morning, how are you?
Charlie, I listen to your show every Saturday. I love it. Anyway, so last year, Charlie, I called you about my crazy cat. It's a Siamese, and it eats my house plants. And I tried everything to try to keep her away from eating my plants. And you said, if I ever found a solution, to call you back. I think I did. And so what I did, I tried lots of stuff. I tried ointments. I tried sprays. I tried everything. But I went and I got thinking out of the box. And so I bought some miniature cactus plants and planted them near the ones I really like, my other plants. And she has stuck her nose in there so many times that she doesn't attack my plants anymore.
Wow. That's a good idea. You know, that's a real protection. That's a physical barrier around your plants.
Yes. So it worked. So anyway, I'm here to
talk about
that success.
Nice. Yes. And also we have to be really careful. Some plants can be toxic to our kitty cats. So, and many plants aren't. And I think we talked last year about, you know, growing some cat grass for your cat, growing catnip for your cat, both of which are very edible and will relieve the cat's need for green stuff if that's a big problem. But if your cat's just being a pain in the rear end, then yeah, I think cactus plants are a great idea.
Yeah, I did. And the interesting part, I did try the cat grass, and that just encouraged her to eat and to eat more. And the one plant I had to replace several times was my string of hearts.
Pearls, really string of pearls.
Yeah. And
she thought they were a toy.
Anyway, I'm here to report success.
Thank you, Leo. Thanks for calling. And your cat sounds like a real brat, but I think I'd like her a lot.
Yeah, she is.
Thanks very much for the call there, Leo. Well, it's given me a great idea. I think to thwart my 21-year-old, I think I'm going to put a cactus in the fridge that has the beer. I think that's what I'm saying.
Or more than one cactus.
Yeah, he'll reach in there and go,
all around. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, sadness. I mean, we actually got a first-time caller, but we do not have time to take the call because we're in our last minute, and so we're going to have to defer that till next week.
So it goes. And speaking of next week, I'm going to be in your area. I'm going to be in Barrie next week.
Yeah.
Speaking to District 16 of the Ontario Horticultural Association Club. So it's a bunch of different people coming together for a day of education and obviously food and fun and all that important stuff. So I'll be up your way at the Barrie Legion next Saturday.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to look at my schedule and see if I can scoot in there.
It's a private event. I'm not sure. You'd have to get the ID going.
You know what? I'll get one of those big Halloween's, like, you know, going to be past. I'll get a big cactus outfit up, like a costume, and I'll get my way in there. They'll think I'm part of the show.
They'll love you. They'll think you're great.
I'll just say, I'm here to introduce Charlie Dobbin. I'll just say, that's my job. I do it every Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. And you're really good at it. Thank you, Dean. Keep going. You're doing a fine job. And thank you, Anthony. You too are doing a fine job. Great questions. Like Dean said, call early so you don't get left at the end of the show hanging there waiting to get on the line. So everybody, call early next week. See you then.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio. The new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.